You so much for all that you are to us and all that you do for us, and thank you for the incredible relationship that we just have with you. And we say, Holy Spirit, you are so welcome in our midst to have your way. And we ask, Holy Spirit, even this morning, that where there are areas in our lives that adjustments need to be made, we ask that you expose those things to us and that we are able to make the necessary adjustments with the objective of just being able to draw closer and closer to you. So we just hand this time over to you, Lord. We ask that your plans and purposes are fulfilled. And Father, even as your word goes out this morning, that it does not return void, but that your word accomplishes all that you have for it to accomplish. That in all we say and all we do here this morning, that the name of Jesus will be exalted in this place. And Father, we give you alone the praise and the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, like I said, folks, are you on board for 31 minutes? Eh? You know, salvation is the starting point of an incredible journey with the Lord. And it starts off at salvation. When we make that decision to receive Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, the Bible says that we become a new creature, we become a new creation. We have now got God living on the inside of us. Amen. Is that what the word says? So that is the start of an amazing journey with our Creator. But the Bible says that other people should be able to see the change in us. They should be able to look at you and see that there's a change in you, that there's a change in me. Why? Because we have the Holy Spirit. And let me say, if we have the Holy Spirit, we have God living on the inside of us, you cannot remain the same. But the Word says that as we have the Holy Spirit in us, that others will see a change. They will know us by our fruit. There should be fruit in our lives. So the evidence of this transformation starts to take place when our thinking changes. Right? When our thinking changes. Our thinking and our mindsets need to now to start to line up with the Word of God. Right? Our mind needs to be renewed. I want to show us that scripture, folks, because this is so important. That our minds are renewed. Because if our minds are not renewed with the truth of the gospel, we do not grow as believers. We don't grow. So many people say, yeah, well, you know, I'm just not there yet. There's a responsibility on us to embrace the Word of God. And that's what I want to speak about this morning. We need to be those that are people that are on a journey drawing closer and closer to Him and having a deeper relationship with Him. Amen. So the title of my message today is, It is God's Word that renews your mind. It's the Word of God that renews our mind. Your mind and my mind, our minds are not going to get renewed in any other way other than the Word of God. In Romans 12, I'll just read that scripture to you. You don't have to turn there. 12 verse 2, it says, do not, okay, is that a suggestion? That is an instruction. Do not be conformed to this world. In other words, do not comply to this world and this world system. That means do not submit yourself to this world and this world system. Do not be conformed to this world, but continually be transformed. So a transformation takes place. Be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Why? Goes on to tell us. So that you may be able to determine what God's will is, what is proper, pleasing, and perfect. That is why we need to renew our minds. And this is a journey. This is the start of a journey with the Lord as we get closer and closer to Him. Folks, I want to tell us something that you and I, in the times that we are living in right now, this is a very, how can I say, evil age that we are living in right now. You might have noticed that. Very, very evil. And these times that we are living in right now are very threatening to believers. threatening to Christians. So because of that, we need to learn how to be able to come against this world system, and how to resist the worldly pressures that we are kind of exposed to on a daily basis. We need to be mindful and aware of all of this. And the truth of all of this is that we can actually change our lives. How do we do it? By changing our minds and changing our thinking. Why or how? We choose to ensure that we renew our minds with the Word of God. And that's a decision we make. And I want to show us this morning, you know, in terms of salvation, it's one thing, but in terms of renewing our minds, that is our responsibility. But I'll show us the scriptures as we go. So the Message Bible says the same scripture, Romans 12 verse 2. I want to read it to you. It says, don't become so well adjusted to your culture. We all come from different backgrounds. We all come from, you know, different cultural backgrounds, and, you know, a lot depends on our environment and where we live and where we are brought up and so on. But it says, don't become so well adjusted to your culture. I just want to say this, that if your culture and my culture conflicts with the Word of God, it's our culture that needs to bow its knee. We need to make sure that our culture bows its knee to the truth of the gospel. Okay? Don't be so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, the culture that we are exposed to, this world system, the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity. God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. That's what God wants for you. He wants us to grow in the things of God. He wants us to become mature, mature believers, mature Christians. Folks, we need to know this, that the mind, your mind and my mind, is a battlefield. There's a battle going on there. It's a battlefield, and you and I have to be very, very careful what we allow into this battle. Right? Very careful. Because it's with our minds that we actually think, it's with our minds that we learn, it's with our minds that we imagine, it's with our minds that we remember, it's with our minds that we understand things. So God has given us a mind, right? Our minds and our thinking then determine our actions. How many of you know that? You don't go just do something. You first think about it. So it's those things that we meditate on, those things that we think about, will ultimately determine our actions. So your mind will determine how you live out your life, you know, how you behave, how you and I actually conduct ourselves out there. We think about those things and we respond to our own thoughts. We need to make sure that our minds, our thinking, is actually free from any demonic activity. I'll say it again, we need to, folks, and this is a decision that we actually make. Make sure that there are absolutely no mental bondages, right? So to do this, we need to do what the Word of God says. We need to renew our mind. Renewing our mind so that our thoughts are God's thoughts, so that our ideas are God's ideas, and that our thinking is God's thinking. And this is a process. You know, the Bible says a great deal. I also know we don't often hear a message about this. I'm not trying to give us mind tricks here this morning. I want to show us the difference here between the renewing of our mind and actually getting born again. Because some people believe, you know, that as soon as you're born again, well, you know, there's an instant change in everything. And it's not like that. It's not like that. But the Bible says more than speaks about the mind and our thinking more than 200 times. We see verses that refer to this. And I just want to give us an example here of how powerful our thinking can be. And this is what God says about it. This is not what I'm saying about it. But how powerful our thinking is, especially when we are in unity. Right? Folks, God has given us a mind. God has given us the ability to think. And he wants us to use our mind, and he wants us to be able to think. Otherwise, he wouldn't have. Too many Christians, I'm telling you, too many Christians I know get born again. It's like they throw their minds out. They throw their thinking out. It's just, you know, I don't have to think anymore. Listen to this. This is a story, and we see it right back in the book of Genesis. When people gathered together and started to build a city, and they built a city, and they built a tower in the city. So this is just a kind of quick glance at the story of the Tower of Babel. Genesis 11, verse 3, it says, "And they said to one another," so they were talking to each other, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, right, this is this group of people, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth." Now, verse 5, watch here. "And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower." So God was, he wanted to know what was going on. He came down, it says, to see the city and the tower which the children of man had built. Watch God's response right now. This is what he says in verse 6. The next verse. "And the Lord said, behold, they are one people." Right? In other words, God commented right there on the unity of these people. They are one people, and they all have one language. "And this is only the beginning of what they will do." Now watch here. It says, "And God said, and nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them." Anything where we have a real goal and we are in unity and we are focused on that thing, this is what God said about that particular situation. And we know what happened, that he came down and he gave them different languages and he confused them and he scattered them because of this incredible power where he said, "And nothing they propose to do will now be impossible for them." So there are no limits for us as believers, as a church, as a body of Christ. Really, if we work together and we work together in unity, man, we can do incredible things in unity. Common goal for the King and for His kingdom. In fact, the Word of God says that God commands a blessing where there is unity. God blesses. He commands a blessing where there's unity. So it's quite interesting. Proverbs 23, verse 7, it says, "For as he thinks in his heart," as man thinks in his heart, so is he. Right? We are not who our mouth says we are. We are not who we declare we are. The Word says that as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. But rather, we can see that we are who our heart thinks we are, as we think in our heart. You know, if our thinking does not line up with the Word of God, and it's possible, as I say, when we get born again, there's a process that takes place. But if our thinking doesn't line up with the Word of God, we need to make a decision to make the necessary adjustments. There's adjustments that need to be made. And folks, I believe that this is a problem where many, many people, it's amazing, you see people get born again, they've got the same Spirit of God living on the inside of them. Some of them will continue to grow in the things of God and reach great heights, right, in terms of their relationship with God. And others, they kind of just peter out. They're both born again. But the difference is, the one decided to grab hold of the Word of God, made a decision to ensure that their thinking was changed so that it would line up with the Word of God. And that is a process. That's a process. So, you know, we become very, very effective for God when our thinking and God's thinking is exactly the same. When our heartbeat is the same as God's heartbeat, we become effective for Him. And it's interesting, too, because the Bible gives warnings about this thing, about this mind, you know, about the mind and all of this. Because the Bible speaks about a wicked mind. A Bible speaks about an anxious mind. As believers, we should not be experiencing anxiety. I'll give you a scripture, just one. I can give you a whole bunch, but I'll just give you one. But it talks about a wicked mind. It talks about an anxious mind. It talks about a reprobate mind. The Bible talks about a fleshly mind or a carnal mind. And a mind that is set on earthly things. Some people's minds are just set on, you know, we're on planet Earth and it's all about no concern about eternity, but all about the times that we are living in right now. And these things that I've mentioned right now, this should not be for any of us if we are believers. Okay? So now here's something I believe is very important. Because we need to remember that our minds, our thinking, are exactly the same 1 second before salvation as they are 1 second after salvation. Is that true? Do you suddenly, you know, once you're born again, do you suddenly just, you know, does all your thinking change instantaneously? I mean, how many of you have experienced that? Our minds don't change instantaneously. It's not our minds. It is our spirit that is the real you and the real me that is transformed instantaneously through the grace of God and us exercising faith. And that is how we receive salvation. So it is our spirit where a transformation takes place right there. The Bible speaks about this. The Bible says that you and I become a new creature, that we become a new creation. We now have God, the Holy Spirit, living on the inside of us. But our thinking hasn't changed. Is this true? Because if we get this, folks, we can start to understand why some of us are so slow in our, how can I say, our spiritual development, our spiritual growth. Okay. So for you and I to really embrace and really able to live out this victorious life that Jesus purchased for us at Calvary, our thinking needs to change so that our thinking starts to line up with God's Word. Our behavioral patterns need to change. And they will change as a result of us getting into the Word of God. Because our actions, remember what I said earlier on, our actions are as a result of our thinking. And when we're thinking wrong, now suddenly we're born again and we have to learn, unlearn a whole lot of stuff and learn a whole lot of new stuff, our thinking will then change and our actions will change. We'll become different. So the Bible speaks about this thing of renewing our minds. And we need to remember that it is a process. Salvation is instantaneous. That's when you and I become the righteousness of God. We spoke about it during the week. You can't be more righteous or less righteous. Once you get born again, you are righteous. We are righteous. We can become more holy and less holy. And this is partly what I'm speaking about here this morning. So the Bible says that we need to renew our minds and we need to see that it is a process. In other words, a programming takes place. We have to unprogram certain stuff and replace that with a kind of a new program so that our new thinking is lining up continually with God's Word. Does that make sense? Really? Because it's a transformation. A transformation. And this transformation is a journey. As I say, it's a process. And it should be something that we are practicing and working on a daily basis. This process right now. Renewing our mind. So we start to renew our mind. And part of it is learning. We're learning new stuff as we open up the Word of God. And then also, as we learn this stuff, well, new, as we study the Bible and so on, we not only learn it, but we start to apply it. And, of course, this is really now a demonstration of us being those that are not just hearers of the Word, but doers as well. All right. So when it comes to the Word now, so we're born again, there's a responsibility on us. We have to do something. So we start to receive the Word of God, and as we receive it, faith rises up. So we start to believe the Word of God, and then we step out and we obey the Word of God, the truth. And it is this process that will kick off and start the transformation in our own lives. That's how it happens. That's just it would be wonderful if we got born again and our thinking just all changed instantaneously. But it doesn't, unfortunately. So our goal is to become more and more like Jesus on a daily basis. And I want to ask you, is that your goal? Is that something that you've you know, that's like a big thing in your life, that, you know, today I'm going to do my utmost to ensure that I really just become more like Him. Because it should be. And this is now the journey from the time that we receive salvation. This is the goal. And is it your goal? Is it my goal? We need to be honest with ourselves. So what I want to do is just look at a few things that actually take place when we actually start to renew our minds. All right? Remember, the renewing of our minds is really just getting our minds now and our thinking to line up with God's Word. So the first thing here, a renewed mind is now under the government or now under the governance of the Lord Jesus Christ. Before you got born again, was your mind under the governance of Jesus? Who was it under the governance of? Huh? Yeah. Yeah, He had a lot of say in our lives. So now that we're born again, right, our thinking, our mind is now under the governance of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because it's under His control, there's certain things that He tells us about this. First of all, that we should be at peace. We should be at peace. In other words, there should be no turmoil. There shouldn't be anxiety. But Dave, how can you say? You know, that's the way we are. We're just all wired to be anxious. That's life, you know. And hang on. Philippians 4, verse 6 says, do not, again, I ask, is that a suggestion in the Word? Right? Okay. Do not be anxious about anything. So, folks, if we are being anxious and we're experiencing this ongoing anxiety, there's something that we're not getting right. Let's just do what the Word says. It doesn't mean that, you know, we shouldn't be doing what we're doing. It's how we are dealing with what we are actually doing. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, with prayer and supplication and with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. And then he says, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. So we can see right there that this thing of renewing our mind, we're talking about it now being under the governance of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a mind thing. Because we could get born again and we just carry on like we did before we got born again. The next thing, a renewed mind, it exhibits humility. Humility. True humility. You know what true humility is? That we do not see ourselves above the way the Lord Jesus Christ sees us, and we don't see ourselves below, lower than the way the Lord Jesus Christ sees us. True humility is seeing yourself exactly the way that God sees you. We need to see ourselves as children of the Most High God. We need to see ourselves as those that are truly loved by Him. We need to see ourselves as being able to do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We need to see ourselves as being the head and not the tail. And we know all of those scriptures. And, you know, this thing of humility is quite interesting, because the Bible talks about humility, and when you read about humility in the Bible, it's humble yourselves. That's the decision we make. We humble ourselves. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. So if this is the case, that means that we really don't have to put a whole lot of trust now in our own ability and our own self, because we are connected to the Lord and we start to take these things to the Lord and we put our trust in the Lord. Are we okay? Is it too hot in here? Should we crank up the aircon just to make sure we stay awake? Right. I want to read this here, 1 Corinthians 1 verse 25. It says, for the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you, talking about us, not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many of you were powerful. How many of us were powerful before we got born again? Not many of you were of noble birth. Why don't you just put up your hand if you're of noble birth? Thank you, one brother. Oh, no. Are you not noble birth? Okay. You are now. There you are now. All right. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are. Why? He tells us. So that no human being might boast in the presence of God. Again, we need to be a humble people. And this is part of the renewing of the mind. We choose to be humble. We choose to conduct ourselves in a way that the Bible says we conduct ourselves. We humble ourselves. Renewed, part of the renewing of the mind. Amen. Another one. Renewing of the mind has accepted forgiveness from God. But as we have accepted forgiveness from God, we are also able to forgive other people. Now, this is a big one. Forgiving people. You know those people that have been so horrible to you? Those people. But folks, we have been forgiven by Him, and His instruction is that we forgive others. So when we are forgiven by Him, we are forgiven both of our current things, you know, that we do wrong, those things that we have done wrong in the past, and also those things that we will do in the future. So the question is, have you, be honest with yourself, have you accepted God's forgiveness for that terrible thing that you did whenever you did it? Or is it still bugging you? Have you received God's forgiveness? Because if that thing, if you've taken it to the Lord and it is still worrying you and it's still bugging you and it's still, that means God has forgiven you. He said He does, according to His word. But that means that you haven't got the ability to believe that God has forgiven you. And maybe you haven't even forgiven yourself. So these are important things. Do you feel forgiven? So we need to receive the Lord's forgiveness, but then at the same time, forgive other people. Forgive, that's a difficult one. Forgive others, and don't go to them and tell them, oh, well, brother, I actually forgive you, but by your attitude, you show them that you actually haven't. Okay, it needs to be kind of wholehearted. That is what forgiveness is all about. In fact, Jesus spoke about this. Let me just tell you, Matthew 11, verse 25, I'll read it. Matthew 11, 25. And whenever you stand praying, Jesus said, forgive if you have anything against anyone. Then He tells us why. So that your Father also, who is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, who is in heaven, forgive you your trespasses. So we can see right here this process of the renewing of the mind. One of the things, folks, it's a decision we make to forgive others. And to receive forgiveness. That is just part of the process of renewing our mind. So that our mind, our thinking lines up with the Word. Pardon? I said Mark 11, 25. I'm so proud of you guys. How's this, eh? Mark. Something else about this mind of ours. Renewing our mind. You know that once we have we're born again, but it's a process, it's renewing our mind, will ultimately lead you and I to having and desiring a much deeper relationship with the Lord. Desiring a deeper relationship. Folks, we should always kind of be striving, you know, I said earlier on, to become more and more like Jesus. You know, that's what we do. That's the ultimate. We won't get there, but at least we're on a journey, you know, to get there. So we desire that. But once you and I, in our Christian walk, once we become satisfied and once we become content in where we are with our relationship with the Lord, it's at that point that we start going backwards. Because with the Lord, there's always more. There's always more. Right? I want to read this portion of Scripture here. This is what the desires of a renewed mind actually look like. I'm just going to read Philippians 3, verse 10. It says, that I may know Him. That's a decision. It's a mind decision. Desiring it. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and may share in His sufferings and become like Him in His death. That by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead that we desire. Okay? To also one day, you know, as we move out of these bodies, move into eternity, into heaven. Not that I've already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I've made it my own, but one thing I do, he says. And if he says one thing I do, Paul, then this is maybe one thing we should do. Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if anything, you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. So a desire to have a deep relationship with the Lord, it's part of the renewing of the mind process. And isn't it interesting? Some people get born again, and this clicks in just about immediately. Other people get born again, and they've been Christians for 40 years, and they've grown that much. You know why? Because they made a decision not to renew their mind with the truth. The next thing, a renewed mind has wisdom that is not measured by cleverness. It's not about how clever you are, and it's not measured by, you know, your knowledge and how great your knowledge is, right? It is measured, you know what a renewed mind is measured by in this context? It is how well you and I reflect the character of God to other people. Do we reflect the character of God to other people? Do you reflect it? Okay. In your, wherever you spend your days, do people look at you and say, man, there's something different about that person, right? There's just something, and I want whatever that is. Do unbelievers see you as different? Do unbelievers see you as having something that they really desire? Or are you one of those Christians that on Sundays when we all hang out in church together, you know, you fit in with all the Christians? And when you go to where you work, where they get up to all maybe bad stuff, you fit in so well with those people as well. I'm just asking. Folks, we have to make a stand and let our light shine out there in this lost and dying world. So if we have this renewed mind that we're speaking about. Oh, I just want to read you a scripture here. James 3 verse 13, it talks about this. It says, who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. By our conduct. You know that you might be the only Bible that somebody reads when they see you. They've never read the Bible, but they see you, and you are the one, just as they look at you, because you are representing Jesus so well. So we demonstrate this wisdom, folks, by our good conduct when we're out there. If we have this renewed mind, it will become visible to other people. Are we okay? Right. James 3:17, I'll read it. But the wisdom from above, of course, this is wisdom that comes down from above that produces character, godly character in us, is first pure, that means it's blameless, and then peaceable, which actually means opposite, and I'll look this up, it means opposite to selfish ambition, right? So you're not, there's no selfish ambition there. Gentle, in our working environment, do people see us as gentle? Open to reason, he says. Full of mercy, is this us we're explaining, we're describing here? Good fruits, impartial, sincere. This is who we are, folks. This is who we are. And this is who the one that we are representing is as well. So, when our mind is it's been renewed, and all of these things should just become very, very evident, okay, in the way we conduct ourselves. That's where the changes take place. I so wish that we could get born again and our minds just kind of get born again at the same time. So it's instantaneous. So not only, you know, are we now, do we have God the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, but our thinking is just lines up with the Word. Unfortunately, the Lord hasn't done it like this. The last one that I want to just speak a little bit about, a renewed mind, is concern for others. Once we get born again, all right, something, there's a shift that takes place on the inside of us. It's probably at that point, as you start to get into the Word of God, that we suddenly realize that we are not the center of the universe. Okay? We're not the center of the universe. And what happens is because we've got the Holy Spirit in us, and now we are renewing our mind with the Word of God, and we want to become more like Jesus, God is love. Am I right? God is love. So we need to demonstrate love. And this is what love is. 1 Corinthians 13:4. So this is what we demonstrate out there. Love is patient. We're patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Of course, none of us envy here. Love does not boast. Love is not arrogant. Huh? This is us. This is what we're demonstrating out there. Love is not rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable. Hey, darling. I thought I'd give you an opportunity right there. Okay? It's not irritable. Right? It's not resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. And this is how we are when we are out there in our sphere of influence, wherever we work or wherever we spend our days. Just a few more things to add on to this thing. I don't want to get into them. I'll just mention them in terms of renewing of the mind. That a renewed mind is teachable. It's teachable, right? So often before our minds are not renewed, you know, we're kind of stubborn. So that stubbornness goes and we become teachable. Also, a renewed mind is controlled in what we allow our minds to actually think about and dwell on. We're selective right there. A renewed mind is full of the Word of God, continually reading the Word of God and growing in the knowledge of the Word. That's a renewed mind. It's in the process also of being cleansed of impure and also corrupt thoughts. So we start to, the Bible talks about it, I'll talk about it now as well. We start to take our thoughts captive. Huh? Take our thoughts captive. So the mind is actually part of the soul realm. We all know that. Okay. I want to just take 2 minutes, all right, to speak about this. Because so often I hear Christians, they talk about the soul when they should be talking about the spirit, and they're talking about the spirit when they should be talking about the soul, and you know, it becomes very confusing when we don't know the difference between our soul and our spirit. Thankfully, we know what our body is, all right? But it's important that we fully understand this. So what is a soul? According to the Word, if we look it up, it's that the soul is our mind. It's our thinking, our ability to think. It's our emotions. That's the mind. It is our will. That is the mind. In other words, it is our intellectual realm, so to speak. So now let's just get this. So this is the soul, what I've just explained now. So I'm going to put it over there. All right. You see it? Okay, check it. That's the soul. Keep your eye on the soul. But now I want to speak about the spirit. So the spirit is that part of us that is really God conscious. That part that's God conscious. And it's that part of us that is actually in contact with the spiritual realm. It's the real you. Your spirit is the real you. Before you get born again, you are a spirit being. When you get born again, that spirit is now, God's spirit is entangled or mixed with that. The Bible, that's when the Bible says you become a new creature, become a new creation, and all of those things. So that is the spirit, and that is the real you, and it's your spirit that gets born again. So let's just get this right. Remember, where was it? About here. So that's the soul, and this is the spirit. Folks, and the soul is connected to the spirit, which is the real you, the part that gets born again. Because the Bible says to you, know, one day when we die, we will get into heaven, if we're born again, we'll get into heaven, and we will still have thinking and reasoning, and we'll be able to recognize people and speak to people, and you can go and have a chat to Moses if you want to, and Elijah, and, you know, David, and ask him, you know, So the spirit is here, the soul is here, and they are connected. And the soul and the spirit is now in a body. How many of you noticed you've got bodies here today? Yeah. But one day when your body expires, your soul that is connected to your spirit is going to one of two places. So it's either going, if you're born again, it's going to heaven, because that's the real you, and you'll spend eternity in the presence of God. Or it is going to, you said the H word in church. A lot of churches don't like to say the H word. Yes, hell. There's a real place called hell, according to the Bible. Jesus spoke about it. You know, it's not politically correct to speak about hell anymore, especially in church. So, that is what happens right there, okay? So, it's we get born again, it's our soul that's connected to our spirit, ultimately will be going, because we're all born again, going to heaven. So, our soul, like I said, is connected. So, it's through our thoughts, our thinking realm, right, which is our mind starts to influence, I said earlier on, the way we act, the way we conduct ourselves, and the way we live out our lives. But folks, I want to say this again, that your mind and my mind, this is the battlefield. We better believe that we have an enemy out there. You better believe that he comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. And if the mind is a battlefield, this is where the victory of life, I'll say it again, the victory of life is either won or lost, is in our thinking. What do we believe? What do we accept? Right? So the mind is the place where the devil comes and he attacks us big time. And he attacks us through our thought life. We need to watch our thinking. This is why the Bible says that we should take every thought captive. Don't just allow garbage into your head. Take every thought captive. I'll speak about that now. I want to read us 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 to 5. It says, though we walk in the flesh, how many of you have noticed that we are walking in the flesh here today? Jeez. I believe I'm looking at a whole bunch of souls and spirits here. This is quite scary. Huh? Of course we're in the flesh. You're too scared to put up your hand now, eh? Thank you. It says, though we walk in the flesh, which we do, we are not waging war according to the flesh. We don't wage war against the person. We wage war against what drives that person, the spirit that drives that person. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. We have special weapons as Christians, but have divine power. They have godly power to destroy strongholds. And these are the strongholds of the evil one, where he gets a foothold into our lives. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion that raises against the knowledge of God. And, listen to it, take every thought, say it, captive. And careful what we allow in to obey God. Folks, temptation is always, it always begins with a thought. Whatever the temptation is. And I was saying to somebody the other day, we need to see this temptation when it comes. See yourself. Have you ever seen those, well, you probably haven't seen them, but we know those guys at O.R. Tambo Airport, right? They call them air traffic controllers. I imagine the air traffic controller sits there. He's got all his screens and he's got everything and hey, yes, airplane number one there. Okay, you can land on runway A. Okay, airplane over there. Hey, man, heck, guy, you need to fly around here another four times. That you guys over there, you can land immediately on, am I right? These guys are controlling what's going on. Who lands and who doesn't land. And we need to start to see how the devil comes. He comes with our thoughts, and we are those that actually control. We're the air traffic controller of our brain, of our thinking. When that thought comes, you know that one you shouldn't be thinking about, don't wait for it to land. Then it's hard to deal with it. As that thought comes, you know, you're air traffic controller of your own brain. Hey, you, lust. Hey, lust. Go to Free State. Airport. Okay. You go to the air. Hey, you. Give us another one. Huh? Idolatry. Hey, money. But the love of money, not just money. Nothing wrong with having money. Love of money. Hey, out of here. I'm not interested. But folks, let me tell you something. When those things, when we start to entertain them, fear. There's a good one. Fear. Okay. Oh, all right. Fear. We open up the door to you, fear. You come in. Allow fear to land in your airport and see how difficult it is to get rid of fear. And the thing is, to catch these thoughts when they are out there, when we can still take every thought captive before they start to land, and then it's difficult. You know how difficult it is to get an airplane off the ground? Okay. Hard. Lots of energy. So we have to make a decision to be the air traffic controller of our brains and look out there and take every thought captive. And when those ones are coming that shouldn't be there, just reroute them, send them somewhere else, but do not entertain them. Don't wait. I'll say it again. Don't wait until it's landed, because then it's hard to kind of deal with. So how do we renew our minds as I finish? You probably said, oh, thank God. How do we renew our minds? With the Word, folks. We have to have reading programs. We need to read the Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. We need to meditate on God's Word, read God's Word, grow in God's Word, because it changes our thinking, right? We are renewing our minds, and this, I'm telling you, as I said in the Word, is the start to starting to live victoriously in the, you know, in His presence. Let's not be those Christians that are just too lazy to get into our words and to start to grow. So we wash our minds with the Word. Philippians 4:7, as I finish for the second time. It says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds." God's peace will guard your heart and your mind. That's why we have to have God's peace. Not have the devil's anxiety. God's peace in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true. Finally, brothers. Now, as he says this, now, this is where aeroplanes, okay, you can decide to allow all of these things I'm going to mention right now. These are aeroplanes that are flying around you right now, right? And you're the traffic controller of your mind. These are the ones that you are allowed to let in. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, allow that plane in. Whatever is honorable, you can land. Whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. He tells us what you think about, not those other things. Folks, let us be a people, okay, make a decision today, if we haven't, to renew our minds with the Word of God. Like I said earlier on, this is not just going to happen, you know, because you got born again. This only happens when we make a decision. And we need to make that decision. And this renewing our minds, I'm telling you, you know, it will bring victory to our life. Jesus paid such a high price for us to have a victorious life. He didn't say there wouldn't be trials and tribulations. But He says that we could live out this abundant life that He purchased for us. So, let's make that decision right now, you know, to start to renew our minds with the Word of God. And it's a quality decision that has to be made. And part of it is that we become doers now and not just hearers of His Word. So we choose to do it. If we're making that decision, we choose it, or we choose not to renew our minds. It's like what it says in the Word. It says, I present you with, here's life, here's death. The Word says, choose life. Choose life. Amen.